The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Conor Murray, I think some people are worried about you. They feel that you're not yourself since you came back to playing rugby again, that you haven't hit the heights you did previously. Are they right to be worried about you?
They don't need to be worried. I would agree. I suppose looking back on the Six Nations, probably didn't hit the heights that I'm used to. But it's just, I think in sport it's fine margins and it's small little fixes that need to go the other way, and then suddenly you're performing back to your best again. And no, I wouldn't say so. I think genuinely, if I assess myself properly, I think when I came back from injury, Zebra away was my first game with Munster, and then Edinburgh the week after. I was really happy about how I played, and I know there are different games to Irish games, but leading up to the Six Nations, I was pretty happy with my form. A little few bits of rustiness here or there, but otherwise I was quite close. And you know, I think it was a difficult Six Nations for us as a squad, and definitely me individually, and we probably got a bit of stick for that. But I never lost faith. I don't see too much or read too much media, which I think is a good thing, which, you know, having being around for a number of years playing, I think is probably the smarter thing to do, because I think when things are going well, you probably get overly praised, and then when things are going poorly, you're probably overly criticised. But I do get it. I get why.
But it's not just media though, is it? I mean, it tends to be now social media as well, and also fans. I mean, you're aware of the way the fans actually talk about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, online there's so many platforms for people to kind of voice their opinion, and that I think that can be a really good thing, and I'm completely in favour of it. But you know, someone like me looking at that or searching it or you know, paying attention to it is probably dangerous. I think at this stage of my career, I know, you know, to stay away from that kind of stuff, because it's not a realistic assessment of you. I think, you know, once your coaches know, you know, what's up and what you're trying to fix, then you know, that's all you really care about.
But that actually brings me to something I hadn't actually thought of that bringing up today. But recently, Munster Rugby actually complained to the Gardaí about some of the stuff that's going on social media, fake accounts, abuse of the players. You know, how much of an issue is that for you and for the players?
Yeah, that's something. Again, like personally, I know. I know fellas have been kind of got at or been harassed online, and you know, that's it's probably gone to a Garda investigation now, which is pretty serious, and that's the downside of, you know, that's an investigation that is underway, and you know, I don't really know too much about it, but if the guards are involved, it's obviously pretty serious. But you know, that's the bad side of social media, where people can literally hide behind something, and you know, it's one thing to kind of slate your performance, which is fine, which I get and everyone gets, and that's just part and parcel of the job we do. But you know, if it goes above that, then it can be kind of dangerous.
But is it disappointing as well? This was one of the great things about Irish sport, if you're an Irish sports player, and it's not just rugby players, but it'd be for Gaelic games as well, that you can still live in your community, be part of everything. And now we're getting this element that perhaps players have to be more fearful about where they appear because of people using camera phones and videos, where you have this sort of stuff going on, that it perhaps isn't as good an environment living at home in your native city, native country, as it perhaps it might once have been.
Yeah, I think you've a point. I think it's, now I live in Limerick, and anytime I'm out and about in Limerick, you know, people are real accepting and willing to chat, and you know, I think we're really good at that too. We don't hide away from people,
and the majority of people are sound.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, 99% of people can be sound, like you're talking about there, and then one person can say something nasty or can do something nasty online or go against you, and that's the thing that sometimes gets the exposure. So but I do agree with you, going back to like being careful. You do have to be careful where you appear, what you say in passing, because you don't know who, you know, someone right beside you could have a phone, and it's not as if you're going to be saying anything bad. It's just you have to be aware of who's listening all the time. And
wasn't there even a case there a few months ago, you were at a function in Limerick and you mentioned about the fact that you'd been the victim of lots of rumours about your injury, and suddenly that becomes something that gets broadcast all around the place. Did you deliberately say that knowing it would be, or was that a surprise to see the comments getting picked up?
Yeah, such a surprise that one. look, that was probably just a misunderstanding. I was at an army barracks in Limerick, chatting to the cadets, and I was unaware that there was media there, and I suppose that's when that would heighten my awareness from now on. You know, I didn't think there was anyone recording. I wasn't aware that there was media there, and when you're in a situation like that, it's kind of an open forum, and you're chatting honestly to young cadets, and they're just asking you questions, and I gave them a few honest answers, and then suddenly it appears in the paper, and that's just a sign of the times, really. That and other situations you might find yourself in, that you just have to be really aware of what you say and how you phrase it and who's listening and watching, and you know, it's a different world. And
but did, in a strange way, did it lance the boil that you were able to address all of these rumours that had been flying around the place, that now they were laid to rest?
A number of people said it to me. A number of people said, "Oh yeah, you must be delighted now that that's out of the way and people, that's out in the open. People know what you're." But I never really wanted to address them. I really didn't, because my injury was my injury. I chose to not talk about it because I didn't know how long I'd be out for. So I said to the physios, I requested, "Look, I don't want to say anything until I have a grasp on this, and I know, how is it going to be 4 weeks, 4 months, whatever the case may be. So I don't want to say anything until then." And then what void you leave there, you know, people are going to fill that with rumors, people are going to fill it whatever they want, because people have to write headlines or whatever, and I was completely fine with that. And I didn't feel there was a responsibility on me to address that. I didn't want to. There were rumours, some people, all types of rumours people made up, and I didn't want to kind of give them that time, because I just didn't want to. I didn't think they deserved it, because I just chose to talk about an injury.
And if you address one, you have to address them all, sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, just pretty frustrating that was out there. But in a way, I suppose, it is put to bed, and you know, people don't talk about it half as much.
But then you get stuff like, and the majority of that stuff tends to be sort of idle chat in pubs, and it tends also to be the social media stuff. But one thing I did notice recently was Neil Francis writing in the Sunday Independent suggested that your passing isn't back up to scratch as a result of the nature of the injury that you have. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if Frano has any medical qualifications.
I do know he has
had back surgery himself in the past.
Yeah,
but is there anything to that?
Absolutely none. No, I said it a while ago, I wish I could blame, you know, the few things that went wrong in the Six Nations on my neck and my arm, but no, there's medically, strength-wise, all the tests you can do, there's absolutely nothing wrong with power of my pass, accuracy of my pass. I think the passes that went astray in the Six Nations are probably down to just me not having my eye on the ball a bit, or just a bit of miscommunication. To kind of back it up with something, I suppose, you know, we played Gloucester away, and we got an advantage, and I ripped the pass from left to right, which is using my left arm, which was the arm that it was affected, and ripped it to Joey, like, perfectly, and it got him into space, and he scored a try. And I suppose in my head, like, we do tests, and we're doing loads of drills, and I was happy with it, but in my head that was kind of a moment where, look, I'm in a game there, I've been hit a few times, and I'm still able to rip a really good pass to Joey. And so if there was any doubt in my mind back then, that kind of killed it anyway. So I think whoever wrote that article you were talking about is just, no.
And Johan van Graan was very happy with you on Saturday as well. You did get out of jail against Edinburgh, though. Was there any sense amongst the players afterwards, we really, that was a sneaky win, we really didn't really deserve that, or do you think you did deserve it?
I don't think it was a sneaky win. I think we deserved the win. I think a lot of people were talking about the amount of ball Edinburgh had, and the time possession and the amount of the opportunity, but I thought our defence was really, really good, especially in the last, I think they had the ball for over five minutes and we held them out. There's decisions in games always that, like, had they gone the other way, they would have affected the game, and maybe we rode our luck at times. But look, you see other teams who have won this competition before, you see other teams who have gone on and won Six Nations, they ride their luck, and sometimes they're on the good side of the referee for little moments, and they do tend to have an effect. And look, I tell you, we've been on the wrong side of that a good few times before as well. So, you know, it works its way around in circles. Like, sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it doesn't. And maybe at the weekend there was one or two, but I'm convinced if we if they had gone the other way, we would have found a way to get an opportunity to score. Now, who knows whether we would have, but look, we got a few opportunities, and you know, Earlsey finished two important ones.
Some people are already writing you off your chances in semi-final on the basis that you're away to a Saracens team who came over and won comfortably in Lansdowne Road 2 years ago when you were out injured, on the back of last year's defeat against Racing in the semi-final. But are quarter-final performances and results actually relevant to what happens on semi-final day?
Not completely, no. No, I'm convinced that if anyone or a lot of teams had gone to Edinburgh and played them over there, they would have found it quite tough. Edinburgh have been really good this year. They're, you know, since Cockerill came in and took them over, you know, they're a different animal. You know, Van der Merwe on the wing, Darcy Graham, who's an absolute handful, Mata, at number eight, you know, they've really good players, and I thought we played quite well. You know, Edinburgh team, we don't give you a lot of balls, so we didn't have that much attacking opportunities, and when we did, we took two, and there was a few blatant infringements by them, which kind of killed our attack, but defensively we were really good. So yeah, look, Saracens are a different animal, and I think, you know, they've English lads integrating back into their squad, we've Irish lads integrating back in, so I think by the time 3 weeks away, when once that comes around, you're going to be different teams again.
For a previous Munster generation, winning a final was sort of like the ceiling that they couldn't break through until they did in 2006. Is there a danger for the current generation the semi-final is becoming the ceiling?
There's talk of it, but I think if you look at the teams who have lost semi-finals, there's a lot of changes in personnel. I know there's a core of us that have been there for a while who have lost quite a few semi-finals, but look at the semi-finals we've lost in the last two years. Saracens first, we started well, we stuck with them for the majority of the game, and then they slipped away simply because I believe they were the better team on the day, or we failed to execute towards that 60 minute mark where that just turned the tide. Last season, we definitely, with all respect to Racing, we had the better team, I believe, and I thought we had the firepower to win, and we were asleep in the first 20 minutes. We conceded three tries, and then we're chasing a game, and that was that, I think. So there's different reasons why we lost the semi-final, and if we lose, look, there's a chance we could lose, a chance we could win. If we lose one, or this one coming up, you know, then people will start talking about it again. You know, semi-finals, you can't do it. Whereas right now, I think you're in a really positive mindset. We came through a really tough quarter-final. You know, the likes of Tyburn, Joey, hopefully he's back fit. If not, Tyler's going to do a good job like he did on Saturday. Mike Haley, these additions that we've made to our squad have put us in a better place than we have been before. So we truly believe we're a better team, but time will tell. Like, I can tell you all the hope and thing we have, but you know, time will tell once we get out there and play.
Of course, you have a lot to look forward to with Ireland as well, given that this is a World Cup year once the season finishes with Munster. Have your views of what you can achieve in the World Cup been anyway tempered or changed by the experience of the Six Nations?
No. Simply, I still think we can achieve what we're going to set out to do.
And what is that?
We can on our day, and we have done over the last few years, we've beaten every team bar none, which is amazing for an Irish side. We've had Six Nations success and Grand Slams, so you know, we're going to go to this World Cup, look, firstly get past the quarter final. That's, and no Irish team has done that, and then once that happens, whatever, like, I think we have a really strong chance once we fire on the level we know we're capable of. Now, what I think we've learned from the Six Nations is that, not that we expected it to happen, but just the work that needs to go in, and how on it you need to be to perform at a world class level. You know, if you're any way off, or you think something's just going to take care of itself, then you know, then you get shown up, and I suppose that happened a little bit. We weren't complacent. It was just a realization that it's not always going to be your way, and you know.
But off in what way? Is it in preparation? Is it physically, or is it a mental thing? Is this the big thing at the moment for the Ireland team, an issue of confidence and just finding the right equilibrium and confidence?
Yeah, like, we're happy enough to speak about it when things are going well, about the mental side of the game, and you know, how we prepare and we visualize and the mindfulness and things. So yeah, look, our confidence is definitely dented, absolutely, and you got to be man enough and tight enough as a squad to be able to remain tight and keep your belief in this group, and that's our challenge, isn't it? Like, if it had gone really well and we had won another Six Nations or Grand Slam, the challenge would be to, you know, not get carried away. Whereas now we've been through a bit of a rough patch. We know how hard we have to work to get to that level that we're, you know, we're accustomed to. 23 out of 26 victories in our last 26 games is something to be proud of and something that doesn't go away overnight. So I think, you know, ignore all the outside noise and know how good we can be is our challenge.
It all sounds like a lot of hard work. Is it still enjoyable?
Yeah, despite the way I'm talking. Yeah, it is. It really is. Look, I said it a while ago in a different interview that, like, even though this has been probably my most challenging season with injury, with form, and but I'm still enjoying it. I'm in love and being fit. Love being fit and being available for selection and playing rugby at the business end of the season. You know, with your close mates. You know, I think, you know, the Irish team is such a tight group. I got really good mates that I spend time with outside of rugby in different provinces, and that's brilliant there. You know, it's been a frustrating campaign, but then coming back to Munster, you know, it's fantastic because the lads who weren't involved with Ireland, they're so excited and buzzing about the European week we had last week, and that you had no choice but to just get in a line and go with them, and it was a great distraction. And look, I got in back with them for a week, great week's training prep, came through with a result and happy with my form in that game, and, you know, hopefully we can keep building. So I'm definitely enjoying it.
Conor Murray, thank you very much for being with us on The Last Word this evening. Conor with us courtesy of Pinergy, as the Red Army goes green, as Pinergy announces it'll be powering Munster rugby and all customers with 100% renewable energy.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.